Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they might be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into a room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you do not forgive your men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will..." So let me start that over. I do need glasses. I just didn't bring them tonight. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." In here, Jesus was beginning to talk to his disciples about prayer. And I want to start off with some basics. And even though there's several points on that paper, we're just going to kind of walk through them. Because there's some things we just want to look at. I think sometimes there's such a weird... I don't know about you, but have you ever found that people always do extremes? They do either this side or this side. It's kind of like we could be Democrat or Republican, but we really need someone in there who's good. that's my deal as I'm watching stuff. And so sometimes when it comes to prayer, what happens is that some people don't know really how to pray or what to really do. And then you have other ones who are on the other side of the deal, and they've read every spiritual warfare book there is on here, and they have a formula. And I think there's a really middle place, and a lot of times it's good to come back and look at prayer and just begin to see what Jesus talked about prayer, how he really viewed prayer. And in here, I believe that one of the things about prayer is it's important to know some things, because as we step into that place of prayer, whether it be a separate time you have a prayer, whether they have a specific purpose, whether you're just talking to the Lord, there's a right way to come before God. There's a right way to approach him. I mean, we teach our kids how to approach a dog. There's a right way to approach God. If we were going to go in, and we need to understand a couple things, and this is why it's good to go in there, is that if we today were going to... got invited to the White House, which I don't think I'm invited. If I got invited to the White House and was going to meet the president, you would actually go through something of a vetting process, and you would go through a deal where they would tell you how you're going to act when you're by the president and what you're going to do. And where there would be a procedure. God's kingdom, when we walk into his kingdom is not this earthly kingdom. There's a whole way of walking in God that we're not taught. And so I believe it's very important to especially get into the Word more than anything, because when we come into God's culture, into that kingdom culture, it's a whole different thing. Jackie and I are looking at things in North Dakota. You don't act the way you do in Missouri on the middle of res. They're not the same. There's some things you don't do. And what's the difference? Culture. And so we're coming out of a world culture into a kingdom culture, and there's some differences. And I want to just kind of walk through some of those today. We want to learn how to walk in prayer in such a way that lines up with how God says prayer really is. And so in there, as we start off, I'm going to just, well, I guess I didn't have nothing on the overhead. In verse 5 and 6, it begins to talk to us about how that prayer... the first one, number one, prayer is more private than it is public. And I want to say more for a reason, because there is times we come together publicly. There is times that we do things, but understand, prayer is a private matter between you and God.
And I don't know how to stress that. There's times where two or three come together and we have power doing that. And we're told to do that. And we're told to bring the sick and pray for them. We're told to confess our faults to one another and pray for them. But prayer on this very foundation in essence has to do with me and God. How we walk together. How we do this. And it's very important to have. And we need to make sure that we're careful on that. I come from a Pentecostal background. And I love my Pentecostal background. I love it. I love the part. There's parts of it I just love. But I've also watched things that sometimes I've watched ones glory in big monster prayer meetings. And sometimes it turns into more flesh than it is me and God. And we just have to watch out for that. I understand when we come before God, prayer is more about me and Him than it is about putting on anything else, yelling and screaming. It's more about me and Him. So, number two kind of goes with that. In verse 7, it talks about, don't do vain repetitions. And that's what that one is. Prayer is not a vain repetition. And I'm kind of breaking that down for some of my experiences, but I want us to lay out a couple things to give some people some ideas to begin to look at things. So as I go through this, I'll do three or four, and then we'll talk about them a little bit. But in my background, sometimes we say, well, vain repetitions. Well, we don't do that as Christians. I've been in circles where we do those as Christians. And what happens is that we have to be careful that our prayer doesn't become something of a ritual that I do and I know how to say all the right words and chant them over and over again. I plead the blood of Jesus over me. I plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, that's okay to do. But I'm saying, and I'm not even going to get to the biblical part of that because I am under the blood of Jesus. I don't even have to plead it. But that's a whole other message. So I'll leave that one there. I just have to recognize I am under the blood. I'm not going to be under the blood more than I am now. Why? Because Jesus paid the one-time price for me, and I'm washed, and I'm under the blood of Christ. So there's some things I'll let Glenn figure that one out as we go along in prayer. But anyways, I knew some people who they start out prayer and say, well, I have to pray on the armor of God every day. Hey, that's good if God has you do that, but understand it's not a vain repetition. It's not every time we get into prayer, you'll hear this. Sometimes you'll hear some of the same things. It's like, is it okay if I have, I'm going to take a couple shots at that. Is that okay? Everybody's like, I hope so. I watch where a lot of times ones get into prayer and they think prayer is nothing but this battle, and I rally the forces of heaven to fight the day, and they make it into a vain repetition. One, I think we got to be careful how far we do that. And I'll say that why, because when I walk through the teachings of Jesus, He's pretty careful. He don't get into some of that stuff. I'm trying to be careful, but at the same time, I want us to come back to looking at the Word and what the Word has to say. Because when I see sometimes is that when it comes to prayer, a lot of people get more involved into writers who write about prayer than what God had to say about prayer. And there's several writers. Here's the thing about people. Every one of us has flaws. You cannot lay out the preachings that I've preached in my entire life and say they're 100% pure, because they're not, because that God has had to use me in them, okay? And so when I read guys like, here's one, like Spiritual Authority, Watchman Nee, I love some of his stuff. Some of his stuff, not so much, because it really begins a conflict with some scripture stuff. Is that okay to say, Glenn? Okay, all right, well, I hope so. When it gets to some prayer things too, we got to be careful how far we push in some things, but somewhere we got to come back and say, hey, what does the Bible say about prayer as a whole? Understand, when this prayer, even this basic prayer, this is how Jesus taught the 12 guys that He poured the dream of the church into. This is a prayer He taught them. And there's some simple things there. And sometimes I think we do things. Here's the thing. I don't have to wrestle the devil. I got to walk with him. Prayer is so much different. And we got to be careful that we have a balance in there. And I want to challenge ones. I hope as we go through things, I hope that this challenges something in all of us, because somewhere I want the fullness of things. And here's what I know. My view on prayer today is different than it was last year. And it's different than it was a year before. Why? Because I'm still learning and I'm still growing. So, but on some of this, understand a vain repetition, sometimes we can get caught up in things. This is my formula, how I pray. That's a vain repetition. A formula is a vain repetition. And sometimes we do that, and sometimes we do it very well-meaningly, but prayer has to be something that's living and alive and powerful. Because what? That is my time of connecting with God, and I'm telling you, the God of the universe, man, he has all power. And there's something about when I'm connecting with him, there should be power in my prayer. And I've watched guys who, for instance, like Ben Tipton, who's always a neat fella, he could just step in the presence of God by being kind. He didn't have to yell or shout or conjure anything up. Why? Because the guy just knew how to walk with God. That's what prayer is, walking with him. So in there, the vain repetitions, it says don't do those things. And it's not talking about chanting chants like heathens. It's like, hey, people who don't know him, do the repetitions. Why? Because it's easier to do a formula than it is to have a living, alive relationship. And we got to be careful. Number three, in verse 8, one of the things there is that, and I believe this is very much key, is we need to understand that the Father already knows what you're going to talk to him about. I think many times when we come into prayer, we come into it, anybody you ever come into prayer frantically? God, did you know what just happened? God's like, no, I didn't know. I can't believe your child did that. I can't believe this person talked to you. I can't believe. God is like, yes. I know. And so understand, when we come into prayer, it's not coming into him trying to convince him. He already knows. And he is our Father who already knows, is what the word, our Father already knows. So when we come before them, who the Father is, the part where he is a Father who what? Who is always working for our benefit. He's always out to help us, not to hurt us. He's always out to help us get to where we need to go. And so when we're going to the one who's for us and behind us, and he already knows. So when I step into that place, I'm not having to convince God. I'm not having to get him to keep his promises. I'm walking into a place where I'm already accepted. He's my Father. He already knows it. And it changes the way I pray. Then I'm not having to scream down heaven. Is it okay to if anybody thinks I'm making fun of stuff, I'm not. I just, it makes sense to me because I've been in a lot of meetings where there's been screaming and yelling and running around a building. And some things I want to tell you has been God. I have seen where people have really cried out to God, and I've seen God in the midst of it. But I've seen where people have tried to produce it by screaming, and that don't work. So it has to be alive and powerful, but understand, God knows already. And so as we step into prayer, that's not something I have to conjure up. It's not something that I have to just, and there's times where I come before God in tears. Why? Because I'm broken, not because I'm trying to break him. You know, and it's not where I have to break myself down and mourn. It's because I'm hurt and I'm coming before him and say, okay, Father, I'm just kind of beat up. I need your help. I don't know what to do. So, but those three and number four goes with it. Number four, Matthew 6 and verse 9 says, our Father in heaven. And just understanding that same thing I was talking about is that he is our Father. When I come to him, I come to him like in Romans and say, hey, Abba, Father, I'm here. Not only is he out for me, he's my Father. He's my Creator. He's the one who never leaves me or forsakes me. He's the one who walks with me in all situations and all things. Before I get to number five, is there any questions on those or comments on those four? We're doing prayer today, and then next week we're going to do prayer and fasting. I want to put some things out there to kind of stimulate people to look at some things and ask questions and begin to look at how we touch some of these things. Is it making sense? No one thinks that. Everybody knows I love Pentecostals, right? Because I do. Well, yes?
For years and years, I never really prayed or thought about God as my father, because I had a really wonderful relationship with my father, and I didn't need another one. You know?
Well, and I think there's definition there. I mean, even though I'm not touching that really deep, there's a part where we have to know who the Father really is. It's hard to go before the Father in prayer if we're relating our Father to maybe an angry Father. Because then we're thinking the Father's angry. He's not angry. We have to, if we're going to really walk in prayer, we do have to get through the Father thing. We need to get in the Word and begin to say, who is the Father? Father, show me who you are. That song we sang, was it last week? Good, a couple weeks ago, Good, Good Father. I love that song. Because the song is like, he's a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. And then it's, I'm loved by you. Well, that's my position. I'm loved by you. Your position is you're a good Father. There's so much meaning in that. But when we begin to understand that, when we're coming before God in prayer, we're coming before the Father who is behind us and loves us and keeps us. It changes the way we pray. It changes the way we pray.
I have a question. You mentioned screaming heaven down, and I don't think I've ever heard that term. What are you talking about?
Okay. very good question. Understand the difference is God in it or me trying to produce something that's not there
in the flesh.
And so I've been in services where I've been in prayer meetings where once really out of a time of people seeking him, man, people began to cry out to God and God showed up. I mean, it was just like it was a heaven orchestrated deal. And I've been other times where I've seen leaders say, come on, cry out, come on, you gotta scream. And you're like, when they do that, usually it's like, we're going nowhere. We're all gonna go home tired and frustrated by the time we're done. Why? Because we're trying to produce something out of a vain repetition. And that can be not just in prayer. That can be in many things. We do things out of routine. I can get God to show up if I do step one and two. I have one guy that if he could come up for prayer, the power of God in a prayer meeting, prayed for him, the power of God laid him out. And it was God. But after that, he thought the only way he could really touch God is he came up front. And you prayed for him, he got laid out. He was trying. So what happened is, I don't even want to pray for him. I walk by him, he'd fall down. It's like, man, I walk way around him, he'd still fall down. And I was like, I'm really going to get mad here about him falling down. and had to talk to him about, you can touch his presence without having to fall down. But what it is he got caught in a vain repetition. And vain means useless repetition. It means more than that. But so we can do that with anything, and that's kind of where that term crying down heaven. And so, okay, number five in Matthew 6 and verse 9, it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We need to understand that when we come before God in prayer, that he's holy. Which means, that word holy means to be set apart or a cut above. And so what it is God is a cut above anything we know. That verse in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." So we need to understand, when we step into that place of communion with God and into that place, we need to recognize that He's a cut above who we are. I've watched too many times people get in there and they wrestle with God like He's their buddy. He ain't. He's God. There's a reverence to God. And there's a part when I come before God that I have to come to that place where I begin to understand God's ways are above my ways. When I come before Him in prayer, I'm not arm wrestling God to get what I want. Here's the thing. When people arm wrestle God to get what they want, they forgot that He's holy. And what that means is that God ain't on our playing field. He's a cut above anything we could touch. And when I come before Him, there's a place where we need to understand I'm not here just to negotiate or deal. I'm here in this place of prayer, and God, You're God. I'm following You. You're the head. You're the one I'm after. You're the high priest, Jesus. Holy Spirit, You're above all things. It's not, there's a place in prayer where we got to get past our, sometimes, and all of us have times where we're guilty of that. We try to pray our agenda through, and it usually don't work. And then we can get frustrated, but we need to come, honestly, to be effective in prayer, we have to understand we come before Him the same way Jesus came before Him, who said, "Father, I really don't want to do this, but if not, if I have to do this, then Your will be done." See, Jesus showed us how to pray in many ways. Jesus said, really in that prayer when He said, "If this cup could pass," He's saying, if this cup of pain and suffering and this cup of humiliation, if this cup of all these bad things, if I could not drink of that cup and we could still see Your will be done, that would be good. But if not, You're the Father. Your will be done. I'm going to obey You. See, there's a part where Jesus was perfect in prayer. We wrestle. That's why we look at Him all the time. It helps us get to that place in prayer. Number six. Prayer has to do with His kingdom. Matthew 6 and verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Every time we come before God in prayer, understand God is about His kingdom. God is, and that goes with that agenda thing too, but when I come to God in prayer, it's not just a small thing. We need to understand, it's not small, it's big. When I come to God in prayer and I'm praying to Him for unsaved loved ones, listen, I'm praying God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I'm praying something on a larger scheme than just a little thing. God, heal that person. Listen, Jesus died for that healing. That's part of His kingdom, is to save and heal and redeem and restore. That's who He is. And so as we begin to touch prayer, understand it's part of God's kingdom coming forth. And the other side of that coin is that God, it's not my will, it's Your will. Kind of the same thing, is that it's not that I can have this. When I was in Heartland, I had the alcohol and drug center. One of the things that I ran with the men there, we had about 65 men, and they weren't allowed to use tobacco, which is one of the hardest drugs to kick there is, especially the chew. Chew is some of the, I've had guys kick heroin 15 times faster than kicking chew, because it's hard. It just don't go away. The craving don't quit. And so they had to take a nicotine pee test. A random one that it was, and when I was put in charge of running it, they're like, "Oh no, you will do that." And I'm like, all right. And so we would have guys, which is kind of funny, because I could see it on them, who was guilty and who wasn't. And I even seen some of them have a little prayer meeting in the corner after they took their pee test, and they were praying, "God, please let that pee test show that I'm not doing it, even though I am. Forgive me and help me not get in trouble. Well, it never did work. Why? Because God is about his kingdom, not about deceiving, not about vain things. It's about his kingdom. Sometimes the Bible says sometimes we don't get what we ask for because what we pray amiss. Amiss from what? Amiss from what his kingdom plans are. Amiss from that. Listen, we need to be careful on that. And here's the thing. It makes us more effective when we begin to understand that when I'm coming to him in prayer, it's about his kingdom. I know with us, with our granddaughter, we're just playing and believing and trusting God. And guess what? She is in God's hands. Why? Because there's no other hand stronger than God's hands. Yeah. You can mess with anybody. I'm not stronger than God. I'll tell you, if God gets upset, you're in trouble. And so there's a place where somewhere you have to begin to say, God, your will be done. Why? Because I cannot see the beginning from the end. I cannot see it. That verse in Ecclesiastes I talked about Sunday, how he put the eternity in all the hearts of men. But they cannot see the work of God from beginning to end. We don't know the beginning, but he does. And there's somewhere where we have to get in that place where we understand, God, I'm praying for your kingdom, not my way. Your kingdom, what do you have? Because your kingdom is perfect. My way of understanding isn't. And so that's really a big part. Number seven, prayer is a source of life for us. Matthew 6 and verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Prayer is about receiving our daily bread, or the bread of life that comes from God. When we step into prayer, it's not just about having a list of needs. It's not just about having a conversation. But there's a place where we receive the life of God. And when it says the bread of life, that's not just talking about answered prayers. It's talking about when you're in that place of prayer, he feeds your soul, your spirit. There's something about that deal that when I'm in his presence and I'm having that communion with God, when I walk away from that place, even though I might be carrying a burden in that time of prayer, when I walk away from that place, I have strength. Why? Because I've eaten the bread of life that he's given me. And so understand, prayer has so much to do with life. In fact, if we really walk in a place of prayer in our life, we'll become strong. Because you cannot be not become strong. Why? Because there's a part of that prayer that feeds you. It gives you the strength that you need. And that, in fact, is why Jesus told disciples to pray, what? Or temptation will get you. You won't be able to withstand the temptation. That's why you need to know how to pray. You need to have my life on the inside of you so you can withstand the things to come. Number eight, prayer has everything to do with forgiveness and forgiving. Matthew 6 and verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A big pace of prayer is getting into that place of asking God for forgiveness for ourselves, or repentance. People who don't like to repent usually don't like to pray. Why? Because there's something about when you get before God and you see how holy he is, you see, I really think I need to change. I see, I begin to walk in God. You think you're doing good until you see him. And all of a sudden you're like, boy, God, forgive me for being weak. Forgive me for doing this. Forgive me for being this way. Forgive me for not doing this. You know, God, help me to start looking more like you. And so there's a place of repentance. In fact, without repentance, you really can't step into his presence many times. Because there's a place where God resists pride. But that humbleness, he brings close. And so, and then another part of that is that as we forgive our debtors, people who are not forgiving other people can't really touch prayer. in the way it's meant to be. Because there's something about that deal that there's no way that if you're walking with him, you can stand there and not forgive somebody. Even if they deserve it. Even if they're being bad at the moment. There's something about that deal that it melts you. It begins to bring you in that place where you begin to forgive. I've got a couple more, but any questions on those ones we just went through? Or comments? Has anybody here ever had God tell you to quit praying and go get things right? I have. It's biblical. If you have a problem and you're coming before the altar, it says leave your gift. Leave that time of you and God and leave it there and go get things right. Yep, that's right. See, there's something to that deal that we're, honestly, what you're saying there too, Glenn, is that forgiveness, it's real. He expects you to do what he has. And how many, none of us have the right to not forgive somebody. We don't have that right. And God, in fact, he commands ones to forgive. That's pretty powerful. And so there's some things there with the obedience to God that are very important for us to walk in prayer. David. Yes, sorry.
It's kind of nice as you get older that you kind of forget things.
Yeah, what was your name? I'm getting mad.
Well, no, what I'm saying is it's easier to forgive because you forget some stuff.
When are you going to get old? I don't think you've ever got there yet, have you? Say it again, John.
No, you say it again.
Oh. I have John say it. He said it nice.
If it's that or if it's that things aren't such the drama that we thought it was back then. We've come to see things as they really are. And one thing that over the period of years I found out just by seeking God, I'm going to be all right. I don't care what's going on in my life. He's there with me. He goes before me. I don't care what financial or what healing or I'm going to be all right. If not here, I'll be there. But I'm going to be all right.
That's right. That's very good. Okay, I'm going to finish up then. Number 9. prayer is seeing the leadership of God. In fact, it prays it a little differently here, but Matthew 6 and verse 13, it says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And there's a place where we come into prayer, we really begin to pray for God to lead us. God, lead me. Don't lead me down into problems or temptation, but deliver me. Prayer is a place where I think sometimes, I know in my life too, that there's many times that I pick paths before I get in prayer and let God lead me. And it's good to get in prayer and begin to understand prayer is a place where God leads us. Prayer is a place, there's something about that place in prayer that even if it's not in that moment, there's times where you just take that time and you just seek him and say, God, lead me, show me. He might not tell you then, but I've had times that in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and I'll say, aha. And all of a sudden, I'll know what I need, and it'll be in the middle of the night. It's like I'm dead asleep and then I'm wide awake. And it's like, I know what to do. I figured I got it. And not just in little things. I mean, big things, but little things. I've had the same thing. I've had problems with something that's just, an issue that I need to fix or do, or even build things. I've had ideas how to build things in the middle of the night that I needed to build to make something work. But I'll ask God. And here's the thing. If you ask him, understand, when we come in prayer, we need to ask him, God, help lead me, help show me. Don't lead me down the path where I'm going to get tempted and fall apart, but deliver me from evil and help set me on a path that you have. Prayer is that time of coming into the place of looking for the leadership of God. And the last one in Matthew 16 and verse 13 also, it says, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. A prayer is about giving worth or worship to God. Our time with God should always end in with worship, is where we get done. We begin to say, God, yours is a kingdom. You have control. Everything is yours. God, yours is the power. All power belongs to you, and all the glory belongs to you. We begin to recognize who God is. I think one of the worst things that can happen sometimes is, and this comes when Jesus gave this prayer, he laid it out on purpose the way he laid it out. Because sometimes you'll watch one touch prayer and they'll get into, oh, there's such a heavy burden, and they walk out feeling like they're 200 pounds heavier than they walked in. Because I carry this big burden. No, there's a place where you got to get back and you got to get your eyes looking up at him. And you got to be saying, you know what? This is really your kingdom. You know what? This is your power at work. And all the glory belongs to you. I praise you and I give you worship. You're worthy. I don't care what my circumstance looks like. I've given that to you. But I know what you look like. And there's something about prayer where we shouldn't walk around heavy and dragging all the time. When we walk around heavy and dragging all the time is sometimes because we haven't understood how prayer really works. Prayer isn't about us carrying the burden. It's about bringing our burdens to him. Why? Because his burden is light. Prayer is not about us doing this great work. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to try to say it as balanced as I can. It's not about how good I can work and fight a battle in this prayer. It's about coming before him and seeing who he is, seeing he's a good father, seeing that he's holy, bringing things to him, saying, God, I need you to lead me and guide me. God, I forgive people. Forgive me. God, I mean, you begin to look through the basics. You begin to see some basic things. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, what? Through God, not through our ability to pray them. Ooh, is that okay to say that? Because here's some real things, is that what I found out is that sometimes I heard this saying, I think Glenn started saying that years ago, about someone came, he stole it, I'm stealing it from Glenn. He was talking about worship, and he says, sometimes in America, we worship, and we praise, instead of just really worshiping God. Is there some truth to that? Yeah. Sometimes in prayer, what happens is that we begin to put prayer on a pedestal that's made for God. If we could have 24/7 prayer for so long, we could break every stronghold. Now, I'm telling you, unless God's saying that, you shouldn't, because it don't work. There's something about that deal, that prayer is meant for all the things that it has in the Bible there. And the weapons of our warfare that come are what? They're through God. They're through him. And so as I begin to walk with him in prayer, as I begin to have that time of really beginning to explore who, because this whole thing we talk, this is about exploring who God is. This is about seeing him in major and different dynamics and responding to him and searching for him and seeking him out. As I begin to do that, all of a sudden there's a battle going on out here, and God says, hey, I'll take care of it. Why? Because the battle, what, belongs to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? See, we weren't called to fight every battle, but we're called to walk with the one who wins every battle. And so there's a dynamic there that we need to understand, but at the same time, we need to understand that there's a depth of this prayer that is very real. I've walked around guys, and I'll bring that Ben Tipton up again. I talked to him about some things. I could see him touch God and see a depth of God in him where this man knew how to walk and talk to God. where other men didn't know how to do what he's doing. In fact, they ran him out of a denomination when he was overseas because they thought he was, he'd go places and demons would manifest and he'd deal with them. He just knew how to pray. He knew how to walk with God. And the churches thought he was crazy, so they kind of fired him. And then when their missionaries in the mission field start dying from sicknesses that have been gone for 1,000 years and they had nowhere, they said, you know, maybe we could use him again. And they put him in one little country. I think he started 60 churches. He met with a medicine man and God showed up and miraculously things happened. And next thing you know, this medicine man is one of his students. Next thing, this guy is his pastor in churches. But he knew how to touch things in prayer, but it wasn't, I never met him just as a dynamic yelling man. He was just a very gentle man. In fact, when he was probably, he was in his mid-high 60s when we had him out there, didn't he? I mean, he was so spiritual, he would jump rope with Christian when she was a little girl. That's what he would do before service. You want to jump rope? And Christian talked him into it. So he's out there jumping rope as an old man. He spoke softly, but he knew how to walk with God in prayer. See, prayer is so powerful. But it's powerful because we're plugged into him, and he's fighting the battle, not because I have earned my stripes on the battlefield and know how to do all this. So there's real depth here. I just kind of want to challenge a little bit. Any comments or questions before we take a quick break for a cup of coffee? I even kept it down in pretty good time. All right, well, let's take a quick break and then we'll wrap it up.